I've called the meeting back to order, and we are now at the point in the agenda called the Treasurer's Report. And I would like to introduce Barbara Whipperman, who is the Treasurer for this board, who will make her report now.
She needs the microphone from that side. Mal, could you hand her that mic, please?
Hello, everybody. First, I have to tell you just a little story about getting ready for this report today, and that is that I've had a lot of help from Maria, the business manager at KPFA. We started a couple weeks ago. Brian came and helped because he has had a lot of experience, and he promised to help me with this job. So we had our ducks in a row, and we had certain reports we were deciding we're going to use. And then Maria had a very tragic thing happen in her family. Her daughter was hit by an errant driver, drug 30 feet. So Maria left town and went to Los Angeles to be with her daughter for a week, and then brought her daughter home for a week. And she has been doing some work from home. And so the final product that was really the main thing the LSB requested of me the last meeting only just walked in the door right now. So, but I have other things that I had planned to report to you all. And so I think I'll just start with those.
Excuse me, Barbara, just one second.
Yes.
Someone in the back of the room is videotaping this meeting, and I appreciate that you identify who you are and what you're videotaping it for. And in the future, I would ask that if anyone wants to videotape our meetings, that they ask us ahead of time and tell us what they're doing. So,
and give us access to the videos.
So who are you and why are you videotaping this? Okay, and can anyone here get access to a copy of the tape? Okay. I just think it's sort of, you know, like the courteous, the way things work, that if anyone wants to videotape us, that I have no personal objections, but I think the board ought to be asked before it happens.
Yeah, permission should be given.
Permission should be given. Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. So I'm going to pass out this document first, that one this way, this one. This is all a one-pager. And at this side, there'll be enough to leave a few at the end for members of the audience. And there is something on both sides that we're going to talk about. So when everybody gets a sheet.
Wait, are there two pages?
No, one page, but you have two documents. It's a two-sided document.
I see. Okay.
So just take one copy, and there should be plenty when they get around there to leave at the end of the table for a few members of the audience. If you're interested in the money, please get a copy of one of these. It's one sheet of paper, two-sided. I don't know what that other stuff is that's laid on the table. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then Chris left the.
The minutes are online. You don't need to take the copies of the minutes. We're here for the board to review before we voted on them. We already did that. But the minutes are available online on the KPFA website at the local station board page.
Just put it at that end of the table is where the extra ones go.
Yeah, there's
two extras here. Okay, I think we'll start, everybody.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, first look at the page that's laid out like this, horizontal, as they say. Look at that side. This is one type of financial report that's made from time to time when people are checking up on things. And if you look at the very top left, it says interstation accounts. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then across there are the various radio stations. There's also a column for the National Office and for the Pacifica Radio Archives. This is a picture of some transfers that happened in September of 2010. And you may wonder why I want to talk about this now. It's because at that time, KPFA couldn't meet its payroll. And this has been talked about in rallies, in the phone room, in the hallways, and I've heard it misrepresented many times. So I wanted to do a little research on this, find out exactly what did happen, and I want the board to know how it went. So if you hear people bringing up this kind of statement, you'll know the facts of the matter. And of course, this was one of the things that was pointed out at the time that the executive director made the decision, because of budget considerations, to cut the morning show. And people who were feeling as though that was the correct decision liked very much to point to the lack of KPFA's ability to pay its payroll in September. Now, when I hear it talked about as though they couldn't meet the payroll, the first, when somebody just says a brief thing about it, it sounds like they couldn't meet the payroll at all, which is not correct. The payroll hovers around $60,000 each payday. It depends on how many work days there are and how many hours certain people work. So we'll just use the round figure of $60,000. And KPFA could make its payroll. There are two paydays a month, one in the middle and one at the end. And around the middle payroll, there was a lack of funds, but only $12,500 out of the $60,000. In fact, this calculation was made a few days before the payroll was due, and by the time the payroll occurred, KPFA did have another $5,000. But in any case, the decision was made by the national office that KPFA needed to borrow $12,500, and they borrowed it from KPFT. And you'll see, in looking at the column under KPFA, you'll see $12,500. There's other figures there too, but focus on the one that says accounts receivable payable KPFT, off to the left, $12,500. And then under the column KPFT, you'll see $12,500 in parentheses. So that represents this loan that was made. And then, rather than being able to pay it back at the end of September for the next payroll, which you would expect, and people have been criticized for this as well. I've seen other documentation. This was the shortest, briefest thing to bring you to explain this. I've seen the emails going back and forth about the wire transfers that happened to pay for the payroll, and that's how it's done, in fact. Each of the radio stations has their own bank account, and the national office tells them when it's time to wire money for the payroll, because the national office then pays the checks. So the national office commanded this transfer. And at the end of the month, rather than being able to pay back the $12,500 immediately, it was paid the next month, KPFA loaned $18,000 to WPFW for their payroll. And you'll see the withdrawal of $18,000 from KPFA and the addition of $18,000 to WPFW. And I can tell you that the emails that were exchanged about that particular transfer said to KPFA, and we don't know when you may get this money back. Now, there, as I said, there was a transfer in October where, which isn't shown here because this is a September statement, but KPFA paid back the $12,500 to KPFT in October. So I just want people to understand that the radio station's monies are shifted around by the national office like this. And it is good in a way that the network is available to back each other up. Before we leave this page, I'd like you to notice the $1,343,700-and-something debt that has been on this account for a very long time, and it is owed to KPFA by the National Office. You'll see the figure in the National Office column, and that debt has stayed there unremoved. So, if you look at the KPFA column, it's the biggest figure in parentheses. Well, that's an account number. That's not a... Yeah, right. And... no, Barbara doesn't know enough right here. In any case, so that's something that I hear people talk about, as I said, in the phone room, in the hallways, and now at least the people who are here today have the facts that, yes, KPFA did have trouble paying a payroll once. In fact, they probably did in other times, and there were other exchanges. But in fact, KPFA has been in a position to loan money to other stations, even with the idea that they might not get it back. All right, let's turn over the page to the other side. Now, you've heard about the infamous $375,000 check. This is another thing that people have been very critical about. It was a check given to KPFA, and at first, the person handling this incoming check did not really have a good place to put it, and there was advice being given and the matter studied about where to put the check. The check was not given to be spent. It was given to be invested, meaning that the earnings from this would then be available to the station. Now, at the same time, the Pacifica Foundation received a $375,000 check from the same donor, the Heath Fund, with the same restrictions, that it was not to spend, it was to invest. And this all occurred in 2009. The Pacifica management, the CFO, spent their check and did not invest it, and actually, in my mind, it was a pretty good idea that KPFA's check was locked away for a while. There were a lot of staff changes at KPFA, and then this check was discovered that it had not been negotiated yet. And the grantor, the funder, the Heath Fund, was very happy to write the check over. But at that time, they decided they wanted to protect it so that it would be at least handled the way they had wanted both of the checks to be handled. And they deposited it in the San Francisco Foundation. The San Francisco Foundation is a nonprofit investment group that helps other nonprofits invest their monies and get earnings from them. The check for KPFA then was deposited at the San Francisco Foundation in June of 2010. So at most, there was a few months where the check did not earn interest and did not either increase or decrease in value, because these funds are invested in stocks and bonds, and I've got a report from the investment company. It's, if anybody really wants to get into it, I can show you, or you can look them up online. But this is a philanthropic investment group, and we finally did, at the point where this election that we just had for the LSB finished, people were asking about this check. They wanted to know what happened to it. The staff and the LSB had not been given any reports about it. The chair asked me to contact the San Francisco Foundation and try to find out what was going on. Simultaneously, just at that point, I had started to attend by telephone the National Finance Committee meetings, and it was revealed in the meetings that our CFO had begun to inquire at the San Francisco Foundation about the availability of this money. I had secured a copy of this of a report that was issued by the foundation just by walking into the Pacifica office prior to the time that it was disclosed in the Finance Committee meetings. And I was given a copy. And from that, I shared the information with the chair and a few other board members, and the chair told me to call San Francisco Foundation. And the San Francisco Foundation said yes, indeed, that LaVarne Williams had requested trying to withdraw money, and was given the instruction that any request would have to be documented. And I don't believe that she's come back with any documents after that. This statement I want to show you here, just tell you that the money invested did earn a very little bit of interest. Some of the things are interest-bearing, and others are grants, or stocks or bonds that increase or decrease in value. And this shows that during this first quarter of July through September 2010, there was a little over $500 interest earned on parts of this $375,000. But there was an increase in value in the stocks of over $28,000. So at the end of that quarter, the fund, and this is an endowment fund, was worth over $403,000. Now, very soon we'll get another report from this foundation that will go through the end of December. But I handwrote here information that I was given over the telephone, that during that quarter there was an estimated increase in the value of the stocks of over 27,000. So this account now is worth $430,000. The San Francisco Foundation has a fiscal year from July 1st through June 30th. And next June 30th, they will make a calculation. They go through a complicated process they call examining 16 rolling quarters, and they decide how much in each fund that they manage should be available for grants. In other words, you don't go and make a withdrawal out of this. It's not like going to the bank and getting money out of your savings account. The foundation, which is managing this for the grantor, the Heath Fund, and all the monies that they manage are managed in this manner. They will tell you about how much is you can safely grant. Now, many organizations that have deposits in this San Francisco Foundation use the money to make grants to other people, to other organizations, to community groups. In this case, we will be making a grant to ourselves for any money that we take out of here, unless KPFA becomes so rich that they're going to give money away someplace else. But I was given an estimate by the person managing this fund that next June, after the calculations are finished, there should be somewhere between $13,000 and $16,000 available to make grants with. And the process then is that the principal advisors on this fund, which would be the executive director, the chief financial officer, the chair of the LSB, and the treasurer of the LSB, will make proposals about how this something like $13,000 to $16,000 can be granted. And other things to know about this account are that you don't need to take the money out. You can put it back. In other words, increase your deposit. You can also do some of both. And this account could also receive donations by other people entirely. In other words, if there were people that we make contact with on our LSB fundraising committee who want to donate money to the station and have it be secure in a fund which is going to be earning us income, they could add to this account. So when I've heard people talk about this check with a lot of negative opinion of the people who left it locked in a drawer, I am alarmed to know that there may be somebody in the room who thinks that that was just $375,000 lost. And I hope that everybody here now who knows a little bit more about this can refute any comments like that. It's earning money for us. Another part of this saga of the Heath Fund and the Pacifica check that they spent. Now, Pacifica, of course, is handling money for all the stations, and they like to present this as one big happy family. But I'll tell you, it appears to me, and I have a lot more to study about this, but it appears to me that KPFA is a really major, substantial fundraiser, and they have majorly contributed to the support of the network, and they are now being charged monthly to replenish this $375,000 that KPFA spent. And apparently the other... that Pacifica spent. I'm sorry. I probably should take a drink of water. Anyway, the stations are being charged to replenish this. We have not been able to find out if KPFA has taken that money and done what the donor wanted. Pacifica has taken the money from the stations to establish such an account. We believe that they have not, but they do not report to us. They know everything about our bank accounts, and there's a lot that we don't know about how they manage the money and shuffle it around. I'd like to say just a little bit before I give you the next pieces of paper, something about fundraising. And many of you know that there is a fundraising committee that's begun work with the LSB. And I think that once we get all this straightened out as to who is really going to be on the PNB, I hope that our representatives bring some proposals there for fundraising at that level. As your treasurer, I would like to recommend also that the LSB make a proposal that the executive director and the chief financial officer take a salary cut of 10% for half of this year and half of next year, and then evaluate where we are with the money at that point. I don't think that the executive director and the chief financial officers should only have this avenue of mandating more fundraising from the radio stations in order to fix the financial situation. I think they need to contribute too. And I know that people who are not here today have made great statements about competitive salaries, and you couldn't get a CFO for less than $70,000 or $80,000, whatever it is she's paid. And I've worked for a lot of nonprofit organizations, and I think it's totally grandiose to think that we should be paying that kind of money for those two positions. I think it's a huge mistake. And if you think that you're, you know, playing in some world where you're competing with other networks for to have people in those positions, I think people work for nonprofit organizations because they have it in their heart to do that. And I think we really need to examine the salaries that we're paying at the top level. It's choking us. And now, my brief experience with the Finance Committee, I've found a very interesting phenomenon. Yes, the National Finance Committee. There is WBAI has.
We set aside 30 minutes.
Oh dear, am I too long? Tell me, how many minutes have I got left?
If we're going to have time for questions.
Okay.
This is
short. I have to tell you that WBAI has had great financial difficulty, and in the budget process, they have made a commitment to pay substantially less in central services fees than the other stations. And I think this is pretty outrageous.
I'm going to give you make a note. She's going to take questions.
Okay. Right. The other things that have for you today, and one of them is I haven't had a chance to look at it, and it's going to be hard to interpret. But I want to give you a couple of things that I have looked at and prepared. So I'll pull them out. Now, this is a quarterly report through the end of December, the first 3 months of this fiscal year that we're in right now. And it's got columns for actual expenses and actual income, and also next to it columns for what was budgeted. And it's according to the budget that was passed by the National Board and the National Finance Committee. The one that was passed without communicating with the local station board. So, when you're looking at these, this first quarter, if you just go across the top line, we did pretty well as far as making the money that we were commanded to make. Not that our figures were that different in the budget that we tried to pass, or the board tried to pass last fall. Did pass. We didn't get it all the way through. Now, the next thing I'm going to give you is the same figures, but with the budget spread out for the whole year. And for those of you on the LSB, I hope you will keep these copies and bring them back so we don't have to copy them every time, but we'll be talking about this again. Here's some more. You can. Well, yeah. They get really hard to read. Okay. I almost would like to ask for help from Brian, who's much more familiar with reading these, if he has any comments just looking at these sheets that he would like to throw in. Would you?
Why don't you finish?
Well, I actually don't have very much to say about these right now. I'm still studying them, to tell you the truth. And I'm looking forward to the work that we still have yet to do on a revised budget that we want to present.
The revised budget is not here because of...
No, it came just before...
Oh, okay.
Just a few minutes before.
Okay, but so you haven't seen it, and
I haven't looked it over.
No, that's not it.
That's the national. But I can tell you some things about the proposed budget. Okay, this whole stack. Would you just send this stack to the end of the table down there? That's for audience copies. I don't know why they're marked that way, but I believe Maria. Those are audience copies. Okay. Yeah. This is LSB only.
Okay. This is just LSB members.
Oh, the tree.
Yeah.
More than we need.
Why does it say LSB only?
I don't know. I didn't get that explanation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, without going through all of this, and I apologize, but it's a matter of the circumstances we were working under. I can tell you that the things that have changed that I asked to be changed from the national board's approved budget for us and the proposed revised budget that we're starting with here as a draft today, we did include the 60-some thousand dollar pledge for funding. And also, I estimated that next August we might have, say, $10,000 from the San Francisco Foundation money. I put forth the proposal that we just be really conservative about what we are going to take out of that fund right now. And also, another thing that should be in here is a reduction in our central services percentage, which we proposed, was proposed previously in the what's been known as the sustainable budget that the staff and management got together last fall. And the reason for that, and it's a very modest reduction of only 1%, the reason for that is that we feel it's really unfair that the national office has been occupying their office space rent-free. And KPFA is getting no credit for that. Now, at KPFK in Los Angeles, they have a building in which the Pacifica Radio Archives is housed upstairs, and it is a problem in that it's a non-accessible space. In other words, it's not accessible to anybody in a wheelchair. And however, their KPFK's central services fee is 1% less than other stations. We were told, I've heard, that the reason that the national office has refused to compensate KPFA for any rent is that it's a non-rentable space. It only has one door. So
how many do you need to get in?
You need one to get in and one to go out. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we can fix that. And in any case, even if we don't fix it, I think this is a comparable situation to the Pacifica Radio Archives being an inaccessible office, and I think that we should just assert that we need to have our central services fee reduced by 1%. And if you, at this point, I would like to tell you that it's the percentage that WBAI is committing to pay is 5%, as opposed to 19.5%. Their budget was submitted with the attached statement saying, we will pay 5% and try to pay more if we can. So now they've had some harsh words put on them from members of the National Finance Committee. They were directed at the time that their budget was finalized and put in the record that they needed in January to start telling the union that there were going to have to be layoffs in July. So, and that was an hours-long discussion. So I think in light of these kind of flexibilities that exist, we should be able to push through this kind of change of a 1% reduction for KPFA. All right, I have one totally brief, believe me, thing to say, and that is that I think that the way out of this morass of fighting with each other about what kind of station we should have is to look to the future, the changes that are coming in radio, and I know that it's going to be just a few years, and I think we should be finding out how it is that digital radio is going to affect us. I've heard things like, oh, we're going to have five channels instead of one and all that sort of thing. Think of all the increased programming that could go on if we make changes like this. Then we would satisfy the fact that people are, you know, fighting over what kind of a radio station we should have. So, questions? Yes, Mal.
If I understand your report so far, the sustainable budget, which we passed a number of months ago, has been far exceeded by the reality in the first quarter, so that the fact that that budget was rejected as overly optimistic about funds is simply wrong. We have exceeded funds.
I think you're right. And I think as I keep studying this and working with people, and then the National Finance Committee is going to convene again, I hope to be even better prepared to make statements like this.
It's the 1 million. Can we go back to the first page? The 1,300,000. Is that 43?
Okay. 1,343,733,000.
Okay. Have you been in discussions on when they will pay that back to us?
I haven't had any discussions about that, no.
Okay. Yeah, because they don't bracket it out under their...
No, it's bracketed on us because it's owed to us.
It's owed to us.
Yeah, and it's as a positive figure in the National Office column.
Yeah,
it's because positive. We gave it to them.
We gave it to them, and there's no discussion on that.
There has not been that I know of. I'm sure at some point there was, but
or leverage for reducing our CSO. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, several ways of looking at that. I mean, it could be a proposal that we could come up with, you know.
I think there has been some discussion about reducing the central services percentage based on this, but it seems a bigger problem than that to me. I don't know how you would really recover $1 million.
Well, they can reduce our CSO. Yes.
Maybe to 5%.
Yeah.
Then you just get into this cyclical problem of the fact that Pacifica pays expenses for the radio stations. I think that the management of this money system, of this network, is extremely complicated. And as far as I can tell, we need a more skilled person at the top.
They need to then tell us how that was expended. And, you know, we need a report on it. And that's only basic. Since it's owed to us, we need to know how was it expended then.
Okay.
I'll raise it at the PNB.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate the report. You know, and it's like information is power. You know, I realize we really have to know this stuff. I mean, this stuff has been used as a weapon against us in this battle. The fact that we didn't know, I mean, hear this thing about meeting the payroll And then they turn around the next month and took $18,000 from KPFA.
Mm-hmm.
We never heard about that.
Mm-hmm. It was in the same month. It was in the next payroll.
Wow.
It was the payroll at the end of September.
Wow, incredible. But okay, so it's clear we really have to know this stuff. Now, I have a question, which is, I didn't really understand this thing before about the debt that Pacifica owed KPFA, and I don't know the history of that or what exactly
it
makes it up.
It sounds like a really big subject, and I'd like to get into
okay.
it.
Okay, someday we'll look at it. But the other thing is that KPFA was running at a deficit, right, of around $400,000 a year. This is what we were told. And I never, that is that their expenses were more than their income and that they had used up the surplus that they had set aside. Well, what is the situation with that currently?
You mean a surplus, a reserve fund?
A reserve fund.
And are you asking about a reserve fund that Pacifica should have or
no,
KPFA?
No, I'm saying that this is just what I've heard, right? That KPFA used up its
KPFA
reserve
did.
Fund.
Yeah. Okay, well,
and the question I have is mm-hmm. what's happening now in terms of a deficit? Is KPFA running currently at a deficit or
I think
going?
The way they shift money around, it's very hard to tell. But I'll tell you one thing about KPFA reserves, and that is that there's a $150,000 certificate of deposit that the station tried to save, and Pacifica Management is using that to secure a line of credit, and they have been using it as securing this line of credit for I'm not quite sure, it's probably been over a year.
3 years.
It's been 3 years. And in fact, the line of credit had a due date, and they renewed it. I know that. What appears in the KPFA bank statement is a fee that, or an interest that's being paid every month on that line of credit. And I can't remember right now. It may be that we, in fact, are paying that.
Yeah.
They just keep borrowing on it. And what it does is that ties up $150,000 of reserve that KPFA has tried to set aside.
Excuse me. And we're paying the interest.
I'm going to verify that, Jack. Okay. I don't remember right now, but I think that's what I saw.
Okay, any other board members have questions before I call on now?
I don't have a question. I have a motion.
Okay.